welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you're joining us live, you know, either Wednesday or Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, or you're downloading the podcast or viewing the video. I don't know what you call the video. What do you call the video? Is it a, vlog? A vlog. We'll call it a vlog. Anyway, I hope you check it out this week. I made a couple changes in the video setup brought to my attention by a good friend. Thank you very much. And yeah, I'm kind of reading the chat here, trying to keep track of stuff. But yeah, you're going to notice a different kind of setup on a video. It should be fun. I actually recorded myself I recorded myself dancing to that song. You will not see that on a video. That was just great. I just loved playing that song. Yeah, I had a little dance theme going on there for the opening, the prelude to the show. Kind of gets me in the mood, man. I just love listening to that good music and put something together. I think the last song on there, not September, but the one before that, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. Man, that's just what I feel like when dealing with all the politics and just the mainstream media and everything these days. It's just that actually kind of makes the most sense, man. Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. And then the other one, Stuck in the Middle with You, I think. I might not have played that earlier. I don't know. How about that? It's been a long time since I forgot to mute my freaking phone. And I am not the most popular guy in the world, but sure enough, something had to come in just right then. Oh, well, there we go. It's off. We'll be done with that. I am peeking on my recording a little bit. I kind of knew that was going to happen. I did a different setting this week, and I'm going to try it out. I'm just going to keep an eye on, I'm going to lower this just a little bit. Thanks for, hanging in there with me while I screw around with my settings live on the air. But, yeah, I was overdriving a little bit. All right, let's get to it. Bring the notes up and see where we are going. Oh, my gosh, what a crazy week. First of all, I wanted to tell you guys something. Oh, I got to get through my intro first. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. If you could be so kind as to post to any social media sites that you're on that we are live and that people can catch the podcast on Real Liberty Media or Buzzsprout or Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, Spotify, iHeart. I mean, there's tons of places they can get the podcast. I was noticing, and I'm going to have to check with Vinny on this one, but they're one of the Real Liberty Media sites on BitChute has a ton of views, man. We got to get back to uploading to there. And I upload to the Redneck Dentist channel on BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble. But Real Liberty Media actually has a presence on BitChute, and it's doing really well. And heck, we haven't uploaded there for a long time. But people are looking, man. I really, truly believe people are looking for the truth every single day. Did you happen to see this interview that they did with one of the residents of Martha's Vineyard? And, I mean, Martha's Vineyard. I haven't been there. I don't know what it's like. I can only go off of what other people have kind of alluded to that it's like. But I guess it's all pretty uppity, right? And there was a resident on there that said She doesn't believe anything this administration has to say. I mean, that's coming from Martha's Vineyard, for crying out loud. Which should tell you that, you know, people are looking for the truth, and everybody isn't blinded by the mainstream media. Everybody hasn't fallen for it. And I mean, there, you know, it gives you hope that you know that there are intelligent people in this world. And they're looking for the truth. They don't believe mainstream media. They don't believe the administration. I mean, Jesus, if you look at some of the stuff this administration has said this week, and I'm going to get into some of it today. I wrote a pretty large piece today because I just, you know, I kind of got on a roll and just couldn't stop. And one thing led to another. Hopefully you'll find it interesting, you know, because that's what we're here for. Let's see, is everything going? Where'd my notes go? Oh, I see some more. Let's see what this says. Yeah, good, let's go. Remember, Behind the Woodshed is on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Hal Anthony, 2 hours of jam-packed information. And really look forward to him every week. I'm not kidding, man. I just feel so fortunate that we have him on Real Liberty Media, and he continues to do shows and keep us all informed and educated. That's awesome. Remember, next week on Wednesday, the 28th is next Wednesday. I won't be here because I have to go to a meeting that evening in Salem. So there's no time to do live, but I may pre-record an hour and maybe get somebody to play that for everybody, because, you know, we all like getting together here and having a little chat, having a little good time, and hopefully some information. Hey, today the craziest thing happened. I was sitting outside in what we're now going to call the clubhouse, because, so I have this area that's so let's say my house was built in a U shape, and the cutout part is actually covered with roofing, you know, regular peaked roof. And we never know what to call that spot. So we decided we're going to call it the clubhouse because it's kind of sports related, and we both love sports. And it just makes it easier. So the clubhouse, I was sitting out in the clubhouse with Bear, the, you know, dog Bear, not the bears like are here beside me. And I saw a honeybee walking across the concrete, you know, which, you know, that's kind of unusual when you see a honeybee just like walking. Well, I thought to myself, okay, I ought to kill that bee or shush it out of here, but I didn't because I was watching a baseball game and got distracted and crap. Like 2 minutes later, Bear is going crazy. Like not losing his mind, but he just is acting so weird with his mouth and his nose and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I bet he tried to eat that bee and it stung him in the mouth. And I'm 100% sure that's what happened, even though I didn't see it. But man, and then I was kind of worried because, like, holy hell, what if his throat swells up or his tongue, or what if he can't breathe or whatever? And man, he went through some stuff. I'm not kidding. Like, he started, he was salivating like crazy. And I don't know, if you have a dog, you know when they start acting really differently. And he was, like salivating like crazy, and he had his head down, like, you know, way down, like almost touching the ground, and you could just tell something was bugging him, but he wasn't fussing a whole lot yet. But then I was like, oh, he's gonna puke. He kind of started this action, you know, that you're like, oh, okay, he's gonna throw up. And sure enough, man, he threw up everything that he had for breakfast. And then, after he got done doing that, you know, I let him out in the yard, and he went and did the other business and like emptied his entire body, right? Which then really had me worried because I'm thinking, oh God, he's going to die. But animals must have, or especially, well, maybe just him, but maybe dogs in general, must have this defense, man, that protects them from, like, bee sting. Like, maybe they don't have the same reaction, because I opened his mouth, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see any swelling. I didn't see any, you know, bee sting or blood or obstruction. His windpipe was open. He was breathing. You know, pretty soon, you know, probably 20 minutes goes by, and he started wagging his tail and, you know, just wanting to go about being a dog, you know, which is cool. Hang on. Got to get this medicine ball in me here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that must have sucked, but it wasn't as bad as we were thinking it was going to be, or I was thinking it was going to be. He had me worried for a few minutes there. I'm not kidding. Let's see. Today, man, we've been harvesting like crazy out of the garden. We have friends coming over today to pick up some more vegetables out of the garden. It's looking so good down there. There is so much food, which is awesome. It's going to get us through a lot of time, man. And oh, and the tomatoes. This is the craziest thing. So if you remember, we had a wet spring, actually into the early part of summer. Although right now, good thing I have a cough button. Right now, we have been dry. Like, it may be dry the entire month of September, which I don't know if that's ever happened before. Oh yeah, we had a little sprinkle, maybe not too long ago. But it didn't, I don't think it counted because it wasn't measurable rain, or at least Portland didn't get it, so it doesn't really count for the local, you know, rain count, I guess. But, yeah, so the spring and summer, early summer, were wet and cold. And then summer, we had 66 days of no rain. And it was warm, but it wasn't brutal for those 66 days. There were a couple of hot streaks in there, like 90s. I don't know if we got to 100 ever here. I'm sure we didn't here. But now, well, so the tomatoes didn't really ripen. Like, they're still not ripened, but they are gigantic. And, but we're thinking, like, in the next week, we're going to have day after day of 80-degree temperature, sunshine, and warm. It's going to ripen those tomatoes. I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to ripen those tomatoes pretty quickly. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check something. I got a report that my mic was low. Okay, I'll go back to where I was peaking and see if we overdrive it. I just don't like those overdrive peaks on my recording because, man, they sound terrible when you put it out on a podcast. So I'll check that out for a minute. Oops, I did it right away. Okay, let me just bring this down just a teeny little bit. How about right about there? I'm going to try that for a minute and see what you guys think. No, because everything else looks good, man. Okay, audio looks good. Hey, if it sucks, I'll change it again next week. I had really low volume before, and so I brought it up quite a bit, maybe too much, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking for feedback if anybody wants to give me some. Let me see what this, back to my notes here. Oh yeah, so somebody's coming over to harvest some vegetables tonight. That'll be awesome. It's nice to share food. It's kind of funny. The most stuff we have is summer squash, the yellow kind of crooked neck squash, and zucchini, of course. I mean, I don't know why you ever plant more than one zucchini plant. Honest to God, I really don't. Because we have a ton of zucchini and yellow crookneck squash. And then the other one that I really like is that spaghetti squash. And the reason I like that squash so much is because it'll keep into the winter for quite a long time. If we put it in the little root cellar area we have, it'll keep for months. So we can keep going back to it, you know. And I know, like, a lot of people aren't a big fan of any one of those three vegetables. Like the zucchini and the crooked neck, when they're done growing, they're not going to keep very long because they're not that hardy. You know, they're not like winter tough. They're just like, hey, here I am, some food. You know, if you need food, you better eat me now because I'm not going to keep very long. And when the season changes and they get wet and soggy, they're going to rot, like in the ground, above ground. You can keep them for a while. I'm sure you can probably dry them. We haven't. I don't know about canning squash. I suppose you can. It's just something I haven't done. So, thanks, Vinny. Yeah, thanks. I got another good report on audio, too. Okay, good. Thanks. We'll just keep rolling here. The thing is, with spaghetti squash, it's going to keep a long time. And what I was getting ready to say is, yeah, you may not be a big fan. It may not be a food that you think, I'm just dying to have spaghetti squash again today. But the thing is, like, if there is a food shortage, you're going to be able to provide a lot of food for a lot of people. Those freaking spaghetti squash are about the size of a football. Not really, but close. And, actually, when I did, I can't remember if I did Whole 30. Oh, yeah, when I was doing Whole 30, let me think. Was it Whole 30 or some other fad diet? No, Whole 30 is actually Whole 30 is a really good practice to do at least once if you have any kind of food problems, that's upset stomach or anything like that, or digestion problems or reactions to food. If you do Whole 30, you'll be able to figure out exactly what food it is that's causing you the problem and eliminate that food or know that you can only have that food in certain amounts. But anyway, I used to take spaghetti squash and then have spaghetti sauce on the spaghetti squash, right? And instead of noodles, had squash, and the noodles of the squash are kind of like noodles. I mean, you have to use your imagination a little bit. But really, it's very satisfying, easy to get along with, and it's tasty. So anyway, that spaghetti squash is doing great. Eggplant, our corn is coming to fruition here. It's going to be all done, I don't know, in the next week or two. And that's amazing because that corn took forever to get going, again, because of the weather. But everything is looking good now, and we're really looking forward to harvesting that. And then the fruit trees in the orchard, they're looking good. Lots of pears out there. You know, no apples this year. I'm telling you, it's the craziest thing. But now I'm starting to see stories of why a lot of apple trees didn't get, vaccinated. A lot of apple trees didn't get vaccinated this year, those bastards. No, they didn't get pollinated this year because the bees were cold and they didn't want to go out and pollinate the apple trees. And I guess apple trees are one of the first ones that get pollinated. So yeah, that awesome tree that I had last year that I kept telling you guys week after week we were making applesauce, you know, and that little tiny 4-year-old apple tree, you know, put out gallons and gallons and gallons of apples last year. This year, one apple on that thing. I'm not kidding. I've only seen one apple on it. And it may be left over from last year. No, that's impossible. But my point is, you know, we have other trees. They got pollinated. We already did the whole cherry thing. That's from July and August, you know. We get the cherries off the tree in July and August, and We dry a bunch of them. A lot of that is for bird food, for wild bird food. And we eat them fresh because they kind of, you can get them for about 6 weeks off the tree. You know, they'll ripen at different times in different trees in different parts of our property, ripen at different times because of the shade and the position they are, you know, versus the sun and stuff. So we really get an extended cherry season. But, I mean, it's just awesome that there's so much food going on out there. I'm looking at my video, and I got a bear head right above my head. That's going to be funny. Okay, so let's go on. That's the kind of updates from the homestead. Yeah, the big event this week and last week has been this whole, I'm calling it the Martha's Vineyard event. And good Lord, I'm not kidding. This is a gift that just keeps on giving, in my opinion. I've heard some of the funniest flipping comments from different politicians and maybe celebrities, you know, and people like that. Let's see where I am here. So the National Guard, I got to bring up this story. And let's see how I do it. I got to keep an eye on the video thing too, because, come on, open up. Okay, we'll give it a minute. It'll open. There it is. Massachusetts governor activates National Guard, sends Martha's Vineyard illegal immigrants to military base. Okay, so check this out. No, we're not going to allow you to send stuff. So just imagine this. That was 50 illegal immigrants, right? 50 illegal immigrants sent to Martha's Vineyard. And they, like, had a conniption fit about it. I guess there was some kind of wine and food event coming, you know, over the weekend, and they just couldn't have, 50 illegal immigrants running around Martha's Vineyard. So, of course, they activated the National Guard and then sent them all to a local, the closest, I guess, military base they could get rid of them to. And it's amazing the stuff that people said at the time. Like, there were people from Martha's Vineyard that said, well, we don't have jobs for 50 illegal immigrants. Yeah, really? Seriously? So somebody posted that there were like 400 help wanted ads in the local paper for that very weekend when the illegals showed up. But they didn't have 50 jobs for illegals. And man, some of the comments I saw from people really made me crack up. But I'm going to get to it in a minute. But that's amazing. 50 people. Like 50 people. And we have to kind of call them illegal immigrants to make it understood what Martha's Vineyard did. Like, it wasn't 50 white people. It wasn't 50 black people. Well, there might have been some in there, but it was 50 illegal immigrants that Martha's Vineyard claimed they couldn't handle. Martha's Vineyard, you know. Yeah, yeah, like not good enough to wash their dishes or to sweep up or to empty the trash or whatever. I mean, whatever. It was like, no, we don't want you around at all. Which is kind of amazing. You, if you thought about it for a minute, you know, the people that live on Martha's Vineyard, they can afford all kinds of expensive help, you know, in their houses, with their landscaping, with their border security. Because you know they have border security. I can almost guarantee that. But no, they didn't want them around at all, which is just amazing to me. And I am not saying that the only jobs that the illegal immigrants could do are those service jobs, but I'm saying there was plenty of opportunity, especially with a giant event coming, the biggest event for Martha's Vineyard during this tourist time. or one of their big events that they're so excited to share with the world, but they didn't want any, you know, illegal immigrants like touching the wine bottles or handling the silverware or whatever else that they were going to be, you know, using up. It's pretty embarrassing and so telling also that, you know, the uppity population of Martha's Vineyard is like, ew, no, we can't have those people touching our, you know, wine bottles and serving our patrons. That's crazy. That is really crazy. But that wasn't all. Let's go to the next thing on the list. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Elizabeth Warren, oh my God, she just cracked me up. And I tried to get this soundbite to just play it for you. I didn't get it. So you're just going to have to, you know, I'm not going to say this is a quote, but basically this is what Elizabeth Warren said. She said, Martha's Vineyard residents did such a great job of welcoming and taking care of the immigrants for an entire day. Yeah, 50 immigrants the residents took in and took care of for an entire day, because that's how long it took them to get a bus loaded up to send their asses off the island. You know, transferring them to the nearest military base. Okay, and then we go to D.C. Now, D.C. has had more than 50 illegal immigrants shipped in, which they should. You know, they should. That's the power center of Sanctuary City and being welcoming to all people, you know, anybody seeking asylum in the United States or just wanting to come here because they can. So the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, has declared a public emergency over the influx of illegal immigrants into this city. D.C. has received 9,400 illegals. Yeah, just 9,400 illegals. Now, here's what's really crazy about all this. Like, I know that there's other cities that are, if they haven't got illegals, they're going to be getting some. And hell, I've kind of promoted the idea to these governors of sending them here to Oregon because, you know, Oregon's a sanctuary state. There are plenty of sanctuary cities here. And probably when they arrive, the governor and the mayors are going to send them right out to my property. That's cool because we could use the help. You know, back in the day, back when there was this big discussion about illegal immigrants, I think it was under Barack Obama. I'm sure it was. I actually remember I was going to take out an ad in the local newspaper that said, looking to hire illegal immigrants. And you know what? I was told that I could not place an ad that I was looking to hire illegal immigrants. But, I mean, it was kind of just a stunt anyway. I knew I couldn't, but I wanted to show how stupid this idea was that people were saying, oh, kind of the same argument we have now, that the border is secure, but we're going to allow illegals to come to our state, to our cities, to wherever. But it was almost like they had to deny that they had an illegal immigrant problem because if I put in an ad in the newspaper that I was looking for illegal immigrants, it was kind of like, you know, the state admitting that, you know, we had illegal immigrants. And of course, they don't want to reply to them as illegal immigrants. I know that's one thing. But honest to God, it was going to be like like I was violating the law by putting this ad in the paper that I was willing to hire illegal immigrants. It's just kind of me pointing out, you know, hypocrisy. You know, it's just my way of doing that kind of thing. Just like sending these two governors you know, putting a little bug in their ear that Oregon could use, you know, I don't know, thousands of illegal immigrants in Portland, Salem, and Eugene. Three of the greatest sanctuary cities in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm told. No, I just made that up. But yeah, you know, why not? I mean, put your money where your mouth is. And I'm gonna tell you some stuff about Oregon today that's just going to kind of blow your mind. No, it probably won't at all. You probably already know it. But let me get to this. So Eagle Pass, Texas gets hundreds of illegal immigrants a day. Let me bring this up. Yeah, hundreds of migrants, notice migrants, cross into Eagle Pass, Texas, as Democrats are still complaining about 50 illegal immigrants in Martha's Vineyard. And if you look at this story, it's kind of amazing. Like, when you see this this black and white video, they have a drone with, let me see what it is. We used our brand new nighttime drone with thermal imaging as a large group of migrants crossed illegally into Eagle Pass, Texas. As you'll see, the group was over 100 in size. And when I started watching the video, it just shows these small groups of immigrants. But then, once they all get across and they assemble at this one point, it's literally hundreds. Lined up, they're actually, some of them standing in formation. I don't know if that is before or after they had contact with law enforcement of one kind or another. But yeah, it's hundreds. And that's just in this short time period where they were flying this drone in the early morning hours. Yeah, 7:27 a.m., September 16th, 2022. And that's just one spot on the border, one little town in Texas takes in thousands, I'm jumping to conclusions, hundreds of immigrants every single day. Not only that, but we have passed... Let me see, where is that note? So I know that we went over 2 million, imagine this. We went over 2 million immigrants coming in across our southern border in the last 11 months. Oh yeah, This, as we, the USA, just welcomed over 2 million immigrants across our southern border in the last 11 months. Now, can you imagine? I mean, we don't have that many border states. Those states are having, in the last 11 months, over 2 million immigrants come across the border. How do those states even survive? Like how do you deal with 2 million additional, you know, people coming into your state in 11 months? I mean, if they were moving there from California or, you know, some of the Illinois, some of those other states, I could see it, because, well, they're coming, you know, to buy a new house, to, you know, fill open positions, and to move away from, you know, the oppressed living conditions that they're living in, like in California. But these are people just walking across the border with nothing, you know, with the clothes on their back and anything that's in their backpack. That's it. I doubt that they're bringing thousands of dollars to care for themselves, since we basically spell it out for them, you know, just come here, we'll take care of you. We have food, we have shelter, we have water. Man, but if you're one of those states, how in the heck do you offset that? I mean, the federal government, I'm sure, isn't, you know, I mean, obviously the federal government isn't, no, maybe they are. I was going to say they're not funding the whole thing, but I mean, they must be in one way or another. And it's kind of funny. You know, as I've said about the federal government before, it's okay as long as it's not here. And this really applies to immigration. I say that about, you know, electric cars and mining these rare earth materials that, or even fossil fuels. Yeah, it's okay if we destroy somebody else's country. That's okay. Or third world countries where they don't have any regulations. We can just tear up their ground, tear up their earth, destroy their communities, pollute their water. That's cool. As long as it isn't happening here. And that philosophy carries into, you know, Washington, D.C. and the political elites who are like, yeah, we don't have a problem on the border. It's perfectly secure. And, you know, everybody's welcome here in the United States until you come to my community, until you show up in D.C., until you show up in Martha's Vineyard, until you show up in Chicago and New York City. And they're not prepared. They're not prepared for 50, hundreds, thousands of migrants. Yeah, well, you know, Texas, Arizona, California, they deal with millions, hundreds of thousands, now over 2 million in the last 11 months. You don't think it's a problem if you're in D.C. or Martha's Vineyard or Chicago. You can talk all you want about being a sanctuary city and welcoming immigrants, you know, and how noble you are to welcome immigrants into your country when they're not actually, you know, sitting in your backyard waiting for you to do something with them. Waiting for you to provide food, shelter, water, jobs, medical care. You know, it's all good as long as it's down there on the southern border. I'm telling you, I feel for these people on the southern border. I feel for the property owners of the along the southern border. I feel for the politicians in those states that border Mexico. Canada, I guess, isn't so bad, right? Yep. Okay, let's try that. We did a little mic adjustment. Let's try it and see what that's like. Yeah, as long as they're not sitting on your streets, as long as they're not dirtying your environment. Yeah, as long as they're not standing outside your office asking, like, what's going to happen next, then it's okay. You know, it's okay to have immigrants, migrants. Kind of crazy. What else we got here? While I'm on that subject, let me tell you about Oregon and see how this goes, right? So, as you may know, we have a huge homeless problem here in Oregon. Do you know why we have a huge homeless problem here in Oregon? I'm going to tell you. There's a lot of reasons why we have a huge homeless problem here in Oregon. Let's change our background back to something interesting. There we go. So Oregon has had this homeless problem for a long time. It's been getting worse and worse by the year, and it is like literally out of control, but it's not going to get better anytime soon. So Oregon provides services to homeless people, and it is one of the priorities of the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, and the mayors of some of the largest cities in Oregon, mainly Portland, Salem, and Eugene. These cities put providing services to homeless people above all else, as you can tell by their budgets. And what they preach about all the time is, oh, we have a homeless problem. They don't say we have a crime problem like most of the people in these communities say. Hey, We got a crime problem. Oh, no. These politicians who've been in office far too long, in my opinion, they say we have a homeless crisis. Oh, we have a homeless crisis, all right. And what are we doing about it? I'll tell you what we're doing about it. Like I said, these cities put providing services to homeless people above all else, as you can tell by their budgets. Oregon also has a socialist health care system. I'm not kidding. So it's a great system, I guess, because I hear people all the time who have the Oregon health plan, and you know what? They get awesome service. They don't get awesome service. I take that back. Because their socialist health care systems are difficult, because the demand is extremely high and the supply is very limited. So, you know, you're waiting for, like, I don't know, heart stents, I don't know what. Luckily, I have other insurance, you know, retired military. I have great insurance. Thank God, because holy cow, that heart attack bill is piling up. But we have this healthcare system that, you know, people who come here are going to get healthcare services. Now, I know that Oregon has some kind of a system that they say, oh, you have to fit into this category, like you have to be poor, or you have to be homeless, or you have to be, like if you're a pregnant female, you can get more services than a, well, unpregnant male. So they have some kind of requirements to receive health care. But the thing is, like, I remember 20 years ago, I was in an office somewhere, and somebody, a migrant, had come into my office, and I asked him, I was like, hey, so how long have you been here? And they were like, 2 weeks. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, they've been here 2 weeks, and they're seeing me as their dentist under the Oregon health plan. They already have coverage. Like, 2 weeks, they come here and, you know, make a dental appointment and come in and see the dentist, which is awesome, I guess. You know, it's awesome for them, that's for sure. So think about that. So think about the people who are, well, let me get into some other things too. So you have the healthcare system. Oregon also is providing homes for the homeless, these small, safe stay mini houses in parts of the community that they select. It could be near a school or in or near a park where children play, or it could be just in a vacant lot or an abandoned business. Oregon also provides camping areas or doesn't enforce no loitering or no camping laws or rules or regulations in the cities. They don't care about feces, urine, and used needles littering the streets and pathways that children use to travel to school and back. As a matter of fact, Oregon has decriminalized most drugs, if you have followed Oregon at all. Oregon, you know, was on the marijuana bandwagon 20 years ago with medical marijuana and the recreational marijuana, and that was one thing. Now we've decriminalized all drugs that are considered in most states illegal. So here's the crazy thing, how this works. The system, let's say, was given a crap ton of money, as most governments are used to divvying out money that isn't theirs. And they said, hey, we're going to decriminalize hard drugs, let's call them. I don't know what else to call them. We're going to decriminalize all drugs. If you have an amount on you that could be, in anybody's wildest imagination, considered personal use, we're not going to charge you. We're going to write you a little citation with a little, and we're going to hand you a little pamphlet that tells you how to go about getting help for your addiction. So the idea was that people, would want to get off drugs. I got to say, thank God, I've never been addicted to drugs. I'm fortunate or whatever. Thank God I've never been addicted to drugs. Probably won't be at this point, but I don't know. It seems to me like, yeah, I know addiction. I know addiction. I've known people addicted. But here's the thing. This is what's happened so far, okay? So if you know that prosecutors aren't going to prosecute you for whatever amount of drugs you're carrying because it's personal use, and there's no price to pay for not going to the treatment center, you don't even have to call them. Like, the idea was, well, you have to call this number. But see, on the other hand is, well, we've decriminalized these drugs, so you're not, there's no, I mean, there might be a fine. It'd be so minuscule, and they're not going to chase down people to get it. So you basically, you get caught using, you get a citation and a pamphlet to go get help, and you can just ignore both because the cops in Oregon, I mean, they're so underfunded. They are not even interfering in domestic violence cases unless somebody's actually already hurt. Or I just should say assault cases. And many of those are put on the back burner too. I heard a story yesterday, the county in Oregon, I believe Lane County, has 1,200 safe stay houses. Well, they have 200, and there are 1,000 in process. And they just ask for another 1,000 of these safe stay houses. Funny they can't get the 1,200 done they have funding for, but they need 1,000 more. But this is what I'm saying. So just think about this. So Oregon has medical services. They decriminalize drugs. They won't kick you out of the park or parking on the street. And, you know, some of these places, some of these neighborhoods that are, well, nicer neighborhoods have called the cops hundreds of times over several days. All of the neighbors calling the cops saying, hey, you know, we got squatters out here. They don't care. You know, Mayor Wheeler, the mayor of Salem and Eugene, they don't care. Like, yeah, they're not hurting anybody. Well, they are. Yeah, there's a lot of crime associated with those camps and in those areas. Unsafe conditions, unsanitary conditions. And they don't care. Because they have this image that they have to keep up, and that is, we care about the homeless people. You know, we care about the homeless people. I bet if those homeless people moved into, you know, Mayor Wheeler's property, he'd probably care a little bit more. But he doesn't have to, because he doesn't have to deal with it. You know, the elite, ultimate power corrupts ultimately, right? Oh, let's see, where are we here? Oh, yeah. So, I kind of went off on a tangent here. Yeah, exactly. A lot of psychology and social worker type degrees. Man, that's no kidding. Okay, I'm going to go off. I'm going to go off script anyway, so I might as well do it. I don't know if you all saw this game. Did I talk about this? No, I wouldn't have talked about it because I didn't know about it until the next day. So, you know how, I don't know if you went to college or associated with some school and if you identified with that, you know, like I went to University of Oregon and Oregon Health Sciences University, and I have a problem with both of them for different things, but the University of Oregon is a liberal college. It's always been a liberal college. Hell, I remember when I went there, you know, I was like one of the lone conservatives. It seemed like it, like in every single class, you know, you had these screaming liberals and, you know, just the whole, I mean, that was a long time ago. That was like 1980 to 84 I went to U of O. But this weekend, I got to tell you, it was, It was more than embarrassing. And I don't care how you feel about one religious belief or another. This is totally unacceptable in my opinion. But the Oregon Duck fan base, at least a student section at the stadium who were hosting the school from Utah, BYU, Brigham Young University, which apparently, you know, a lot of Mormons go to. It was originally created for Mormons, I guess. And I don't care what you think about the Mormons or not. The University of Oregon student population was chanting, F the Mormons. And they were loud, man. And I was thinking to myself, this is exactly what you get by allowing that kind of behavior on your campus. When you promote hate of any people or religion, which they do, you know, mainly it's Christian religion that is, you know, frowned upon on all these liberal colleges. But I just realized I didn't turn my studio light on. That's okay. Nobody cares. Well, it's actually better because you can't see me that well. I'm going to have to make a freaking checklist for running the video. Anyway, that's embarrassing. Now, I mean, it's embarrassing to be associated with that. Even when I was at cardiac rehab today, you know, a couple of the old guys had their duck hats and their duck shirts on. And I'm just thinking, man, do you know what they did this weekend? I mean, yeah, they beat the team. I mean, the Ducks were ranked 25th and the BYU was ranked number 12. And the Ducks beat them as underdogs. They beat them. Great. But you don't have to be like that. But that's what happens. So decades since I left there in 84. Decades. Of that kind of permission behavior on that campus. That's what it's led to. Holy cow, I can't believe how far time has gone. so yeah, that's embarrassing. Okay, let's get back to this. Okay, so I was talking about the 1,200 safe stay homes that I think it was Lane County. That they were bragging how they had these 1,200 homes, you know, for people to stay in, but they actually only had 200, and the other 1,000 is in, you know, still in the process, but they need 1,000 more. This is how stupid politics is. They haven't even filled the ones they have. They have 1,000 more to fill, to build and fill, but they need 1,000 more than that. And I was thinking how crazy that is, and it kind of reminded me of NASA. So NASA this past couple weeks, I mean, it's embarrassing for, it's got to be embarrassing for NASA to have a rocket that they can't literally get off the ground for weeks. When you have Elon Musk, who can do it about every day, it seems like every other week he's launching the same rocket or rockets and putting satellites in space. But somehow, oh my goodness. Oh, the chat. See, you need to kind of join us live and see what's going on in the chat. Holy cow. Anyway, yeah, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, they can put a rocket up. They can circle people, you know, get them in orbit, bring them back to Earth. I mean, they can land a rocket back on the landing pad or a landing pad or, yeah, a landing pad. And NASA is just, you know, whatever. They can't get it up, if you know what I mean. It just goes to show you, if you want something done quickly, efficiently, and correctly, go to the private sector. Remember what I've said about government employees, about them not being hired because they are the best? I think we can tell where the best are working now. They're working in the private sector for private rocket companies. Oh. Or some kind of noise. I don't know what that is. But I'm sure I'm safe. I think we can tell where the best are working now. They're working in the private sector for private rocket companies. I hope they're getting paid what they deserve. So back to Oregon. So what do you think homeless or near homeless people in neighboring states think when thinking of a place to relocate? I mean, wouldn't you? I'm not kidding. People come from other states because they've heard of all the benefits here in Oregon. So they just set their sights on Oregon, knowing that once they get here, well, they may still be homeless, but they're going to get a lot of services. And, of course, you have, you know, the political climate in Oregon is all about the homeless. You know, we have a homeless crisis. We need to take care of it. Well, look what you're doing, though. You're promoting more and more homelessness. Like, that's no way to, it's just like the border. There's no way to say that the border is secure when you're just letting people through like crazy and you're going to, you know, provide services to them. You're not turning anybody back when you're telling them they're going to be taken care of, you know, they're going to get all these benefits. And I think it's a joke that people are looking at DeSantis going to sue him or try and hold him criminally responsible for trafficking immigrants because, you know, he offered him a chance to go to Martha's Vineyard. You kidding me? But those people saw Martha's Vineyard. He showed them a brochure. And he said, and it was the brochure that had all of the information about being a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, a sanctuary, you know, that it was a sanctuary area. And that they welcomed immigrants to the area. And it said it right in the brochure. I mean, how can you blame DeSantis? He's just a guy who gave him the pamphlet, let him read it, and let them make a decision if they wanted to go to Martha's Vineyard. Hell yeah! Yeah, we want to go to Martha's Vineyard. Are you kidding me? Of course we want to go to Martha's Vineyard. Oh my God. And the federal government has been doing it too. They've been flying teenagers around the country, landing in the middle of the night, dropping them off. You know, they don't know where they're going or what they're doing. I mean, I don't know if they offered them anything to get on a plane or a bus and get flown to some other part of the country. Oh my God. Yeah. How much time we got? How much time we got there? 2 minutes. Oh, I think we're good. Ah, jeez. Okay, I'm going to get to this story. It's just amazing to me that this whole immigrant thing has really blown up. And it's showing people for who they truly are. You know, it's all lip service. That's the bottom line. It's lip service. It's not genuine feelings. It's lip service. Because they don't really believe in having immigrants come to their part of the country. They just want them to stay down there in Texas and Arizona and California. You know, don't bring them up here, for God's sakes. Yeah, we're a sanctuary city if you're seeking asylum and you actually walk here, Chicago, from the southern border. Yeah, if you actually come by yourself, then we're, you know, a sanctuary city. But no, we can't take 1,000 bust-in migrants. Oh, my goodness. Well, another day. Hey, there's one last thing I'm going to get to real quick. This is funny as hell. I'm just thinking, okay, there was a time. I don't think I have enough time to get to all this. I'm going to make it as quick as I can, okay? I'm not going to say that. Yeah, I've always said if terrorists really want to piss the United States off, just attack a NASCAR race sometime or an NFL game. You'll see like the full wrath of the United States come unglued. And here is possibly the next worst thing. Senate holds hearings on possible EPA ban on auto racing. Right? So they're going to ban auto racing. Like I said, you know, you want to piss American people off. Yeah, just attack auto racing or the NFL. There we go. Hey, I'll catch you guys Sunday, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, and Hal Anthony, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.